bunch of new plays.
You okay if I turn
the
time?
Of course. I read a bunch of new plays last year for the playwriting award that goes to a female playwright. And so I read a bunch of plays for that. So I read this play, and then I'm thrilled he's doing theater. And I'd done a play with Lucille Lortel, and I'd had a wonderful time with MCC, and I think it's great. I think it's kind of the best thing he could do, because
love that theater.
It's great. And it's also, going to work on Christopher Street is, you kind of feel like you're living some fantasy of what it means to be an actor in New York. I think I'm going to see Lucas later tonight.
Huh?
I think I'm going to see Lucas later tonight.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because we're both in town, and I feel very maternal towards him. He's special. He's so great in the film.
I think he's one of the live. I think this is, do you have a sense that this is, I mean, a lot of, some people have said that it's kind of a makeup year for Oscar So White, so anybody slightly of color direction is probably going to be has certain advantage in terms of people voting for their I just think he's just he has arcs and he has all this wonderful.
He's wonderful. I think he'll be nominated. I mean, even if he's not nominated, it doesn't.
He's going to be nominated.
Yeah, he'll get nominated.
Mahershala Ali.
Oh yeah.
Everybody likes.
I really.
You seen that?
Yes, I did. I got to interview him as well, and they did these actors on actors interviews.
Okay.
And
you're so unusual for somebody in front of the camera. You actually go out and see stuff. You actually have opinions about it.
Well, I mean, that's what I love cinema. I don't know what else you spend. That's what I would want to be doing anyway. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I loved. I thought Mahershala was incredible in that movie, and so he was so tender, and he was so incredibly lived in, and it was just really fun to talk to him because I also got to run on my ideas about the movie by him, which he then. Got to give his feedback. To me, there's a quality to the movie of a ghost story, and he said, "Yes, that was. We talked about that. It's a ghost story." And he talked about growing up and that there was this quality of people disappearing. That sometimes people would just disappear from a neighborhood, and it was usually because they died or they went to jail, and that there was it was like always living inside of a ghost story where there was an echo. And I thought that he captured that really beautifully. And I've known Barry Jenkins for a very long time, and I'm so proud, so happy for him that his movie's getting this attention. I thought the kids were great in that movie. They somehow found a way to make you feel like it was the same soul in every section. They really felt connected, and I was very moved by it. I feel like all of my movie watching has happened in the last month because I was working, so I couldn't see anything. So I've been piling it all in.
Lady Bird, you mean?
Yeah, so I was doing Lady Bird, and I didn't really have time to watch movies. So now I've gotten to catch up a bit. I'm excited about Tony Ederman. Have you seen that?
Yep, saw it in Cannes.
What did you think?
I didn't last.
You didn't last. Interesting.
The people were uproariously. They were delighted with it, and I understand that. I'm not just.
Yeah. Right.
Stand the dad. I thought he was passive aggressive, and if I were, the idea that I and I alone can steer my horribly uptight, unhappy daughter to a life of spontaneity and joy and singing and nude birthday parties and just open her up, so I'm going to do it by fucking her, and I fuck everywhere I can in kind of a passive aggressive way. I understand that the impulse is one of basically benevolence and love, but I really. If that were happening to me and a parent was doing that to me, it would make it worse.
Well, I like her films, so I think I'll...
She's great. I loved her.
I'll probably really like it. But I don't know. I haven't seen it. But
it should be done again for this country. It should be redo it.
It should be remade.
Just so many people just, you know, still don't go.
Right, because of the language barrier.
Yeah.
No, I just think she's really talented. Like, I really love Forest for the Trees and everyone else, and I think she's got a... She's really...
Maren Arde or the actress?
Maren Arde. I think she's onto something.
You met her?
I've never met her. I just like her movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm excited for, and... I don't know. What else? So, Manchester is your top movie.
Has been all along, but it's you know, I saw Fences. I saw...
How was Fences?
It's very clean and unfettered and just straight. The play.
It's just the play. It's simple.
Should I take this one first?
I love it when the director, they decide to hold back on all flourishes until the very end.
Thank you.
That's what Dan Bell does. And then he finally does something cinematic. But the whole movie is just, you're not aware of any style or anything, anybody exceptional doing anything unusual. Just shoot the actors and they can do the piece. Great.
No, I'm...
You ever see it on stage?
Yeah, I saw it on the stage, but I'm just really excited to see it. I actually worked with Stephen Henderson, who's in it.
Hmm?
Stephen Henderson, who's in it. I worked with him and
he's
I've seen him on
guy.
Yeah,
he's
and
good.
I've seen him on stage a lot, and he's
really good.
He's tremendous.
He's in Manchester.
And he's in Manchester.
Yeah,
yeah, he's great. He's a wonderful actor. So yeah, when does that come out? Like December?
December 16th or something.
Yeah. So Fences. What else? What else is good?
It's funny whenever someone asks me to go into a laundry list, I always blank out.
Right, you've seen so many.
Just think, episode to episode, movie to movie, and so.
Yeah.
All I can think of is Nagarjuna. That was amazing. I like Jackie.
I like
Pablo Larraín. I think
he's the real deal.
But here's the strange thing.
Yeah.
I was knocked out by it when I saw it in Toronto. I thought everybody was perfect. And then I saw it for a second time in Santa Barbara when Pablo went up to do a little thing with Roger Durling.
Mm-hmm.
And it went down.
For you. You were...
For me.
Yeah.
And I had read Noah Oppenheim's script.
Yeah.
And Pablo, as you know, he made a decision, and I would far be to have anything to say about this, because he's an artist and a real filmmaker with a stamp, so he's not going to just shoot one of those movies in which this happens and that happens.
Mm-mm.
So that's what I loved about it, but frankly, I really loved Noah Oppenheim's 2010 strip.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Doesn't have the edge and the personality.
Right.
Focus of... But it gets you because you believe it.
Right. I mean, it was more traditional script. I mean, he pretty much said when I decided to do it. Now, obviously, the movie is Natalie and her part. But he said to everyone, kind of disregard all scene numbers. Any scene could happen at any minute. You don't think that this is the beginning of the movie or the end of the movie. I think he always wanted to make something that felt cubist, that it didn't feel like it was, like he wanted to construct it narratively and then blow it apart.
Yeah.
And then, so we knew that going in, but it's an incredibly different experience, obviously. I mean, I think he's, as a filmmaker, is interested in these layers of what really happened, then what was presented as what happened, and then what people took from what was presented from what happened. I think he's interested in that. It's like the kind of refraction of truth. And I mean, I thought he did it so well with No, and he, my favorite, well, I love, it's great. And he is, I just knew because he told me early that he wanted to, the part he was most excited about was recreating the White House tour that she did sort of shot for shot.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, this is going to be great, because he's so clever with things like that, and he's so attuned to sort of recreating the real thing, almost in, almost like the Wooster Group recreates things where they're listening to the actual audio and they're recreating it word for word, and how odd. One of the things watching Natalie work on it was because she memorized the White House tour precisely, the language exactly how she did it, with all the same pauses and all the same gestures to mimic it exactly, and how odd speech is when you're actually precisely mimicking it, which I'm sure you feel all the time as, you know, somebody who listens back to audio, how much we don't finish our sentences and how many dangling thoughts happen. And anyway, watching Natalie work on that and hone it, it's surreal. It was really, I mean, it was really fun and, I mean, harrowing to be around, but exciting to be around. Well, just because of this, it's so heavy, you know, it was so, it wasn't light, and it was, we actually were shooting in Paris, like, right after the attacks.
That's right, it happened right around that time.
It happened the day before I arrived. It was surreal. I remember the flight I was on, coming from JFK to Paris, had four people on it. Like, everyone canceled their flight. So it was just an empty 747. Yeah, thank you.
Good, thanks.
But anyway, I think he's really talented, and I.
Where was the actual White House? What did they use for that?
They built it on sound stages in Saint-Denis, and it was incredible. It was huge. The whole thing was surreal.
See, again, respectfully, I just don't agree with his decision to eliminate the drums that were heard, the drum rolls.
The drum rolls, yeah.
That weekend. So, and I recognize he didn't do it because he wants to have his own take on it.
Right.
So, it's all out of respect.
Thank you.
Right.
I felt I was curious, and he just, it's like a movie about 9/11 without showing the jets going into the building.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
And I also didn't like the guy that you chose to play JFK. It was too short.
Yeah. He did look shockingly like JFK, though.
Oh,
like,
it's super example out there.
Like, but he's Danish. He's Danish. And I said, have people told you your whole life that you look like JFK? And he said, no one in Denmark really cares about. No, not really. But yeah.
From a publicist's point of view, are we supposed to be mainly talking about not that we need to follow an agenda, but are we supposed to be talking mainly about 20th century women? Is that the main thing?
I don't really. No. I mean, I'm happy to talk about 20th century women as well. I feel like I'm generally terrible at keeping on topic. Anyway, so I'm happy to talk. Yeah, I'm actually, this is the first, I haven't, because I've been working, I haven't really talked about, I haven't done any press for just this week I started press for 20th Century Women and Jackie, so I have no talking points. Somebody asked me the other day what it meant, and I don't know. That's a really difficult question. I don't know where to start, I'd say.
Before we get going, because there's so many films you've done this year, I don't know really anything at all about Lady Bird. You're in post or finished post?
No, I'm in post. I just started post,
And you got to cut it back there? Or?
I'm cutting in New York, yeah. So.
I love that you're using the Francis Ha DP that you did.
Oh, yes. Sam.
Wonderful.
He's wonderful. And he's, he's...
In color or black and white?
It's in color. It's in color. But it's, he's a wonderful DP, and also he's a wonderful person to have on set, which he's got a very gentle demeanor, and he's very sweet, and he's very kind, and that's I feel like, well, actually, this is a connection to 20th Century Women. I feel Mike Mills is really gifted at gathering a group of people who are very committed to making set a safe cocoon-like place to be. Mm-hmm. Everyone from, you know, grips and electric to production designers to the on-set dressers to the boom operators. Everyone has a really gentle way about them, and when I was working on a film, there were lots of things I actually stole from the way Mike did things. Also, I used a lot of his crew because I liked them so much. And
can you tell me where Ladybird was shot?
It was shot in California. It was shot up in Sacramento and a bit in Los Angeles.
Right, about,
yeah, yeah.
Saoirse plays a woman up in Northern California
It's living for a year. It's. I feel like I don't want to jinx it by talking about
Don't tell me the specifics, but is there a basic arc about her?
It's about the last year she lives at home.
What?
It's about the last year she lives at home.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And it.
She's about 24 now.
No, she's 21.
She is. She's been around. She's been doing so much work. It just I have this
she's
idea
a
that
baby.
She's.
Baby. Yeah. She's like she's a little.
She didn't feel babyish at all in Brooklyn.
No, she seems like a woman.
Yeah.
She started when she was 11. She was 11 in the time then.
Okay.
So I think she has a bit of what Kate Winslet had, which is she was 19 in Titanic, which I think everybody forgets.
Yeah.
She was 17 in Sense and Sensibility. She's young. And then by the time she was 25, you'd assume she was in her 30s because she seemed like she'd been around for so long.
What about Peter Jackson? That was her very first.
Oh, Heavenly Creatures, yeah. She was 15, 16. She was really young.
That was the one that really caught my eye.
Yeah, she was. She's great. I mean, she's incredible. But, I mean, Saoirse has that similar thing, I think.
Is Lady Bird specifically set in Sacramento or just the area?
No, it's specifically set in Sacramento. Yeah, specifically there.
Can you just give me a general idea?
It's kind of funny. it's sort of like, I mean, I would say it's similar to the things I like to write. It's sort of sad and sort of funny and... It's a lot of talking. That's what I enjoy. I had a really great cast and a really great group. So I think tentatively we're hopeful. It's coming together.
Do you have that reaction that so many directors talk about when they look at the first assemblage and they fall on the floor and go, oh my God.
No, I didn't even look at the whole. I was warned off by that by so many people. I talked to so many directors, just because I have. I think in some ways I love acting, but I also think I unconsciously was using it to work with a lot of directors I admire that then I could call and say, "Give me everything you've got. What's the best advice you have? What do you think?" And. And to a person, they all said, do not watch an assembly. If you're going to watch anything, watch maximum 10 minutes at a time. It's too painful. And so that's sort of the way I went about it. And I was sort of looking at things as we went just to make sure I had all the angles I thought I wanted. And everything was kind of vaguely cutting together how I thought it should cut together. But, it's a terrible trauma to see something cut together the first time. It feels violent because the experience of doing it is so holistic. And so you're so in riding the wave of every single take with your actors and you have this feeling. And then it seems almost mean to pick takes out and say that's the best one and cut it with it feels sort of cruel, but then you get into it and then you're completely addicted to it and you can't step away from it, and you work for 12 hours and don't notice and haven't gotten up and nobody's eaten.
Yeah.
Because it has a very... It really hypnotizes you. It really hypnotizes me.
Means the editing process?
Yes, yeah. It's like you kind of go into a fugue state.
Do you have a deadline of some sort?
Not really. I mean, vaguely, yes. We have 20 weeks of post, but not really. I mean, we're working as if we do, but it's just because I also think when you get off of a shoot, it's hard to break that pace because you're so used to working so intensely that it's hard to slow the horse down. So that's what's been going on in New York. And this is my week off.
Okay. So we might see it in the fall, possibly?
Maybe. I mean, not, yeah. Yeah.
Not Sundance, but fall.
Probably not Sundance, yeah. I think it's too soon.
Too what?
Sundance is too quick.
Too quick?
Yeah. We'll see. I don't know.
So I should ask you a couple of...
Yeah, ask me what you've... Do you have the time by any chance?
I have 5 minutes tonight.
Okay, great, I'm fine. I'll have to run at some point, but I'm okay right now.
Oh, I have to go see 20th Century. I mean, no. Sorry.
No.
Hidden Figures.
Is that coming out this year?
Yes, yeah.
It's Octavia Spencer and... Yeah.
This is, like, much louder than... Between Apocalypse Now and the helicopters.
And the all the things going by on wheels. Yeah.
Really annoying.
Yeah.
I was with a woman at the Echo watching Wienerberg. And she was one of those women who was very vocal. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
And when at the very end, she went into shock.
Oh, no.
How could he do that?
I know. I think it really upset a lot of people. I have to say, that film made me so happy.
What, Mickey, or what?
Just, well, because I'd read the whole script, but I hadn't seen it, and so I was watching it for the first time at Sundance. And there was something about it that I was like, God bless you, Todd Solondz. Like, this is really... no one else would make this movie but you, and it feels like often movies are in such a race to be loved that they scrub out anything that's interesting about them, and that is not his issue. And I was like, that's what you hope to see at film festivals, is something that feels genuinely. Oh no. Very exciting.
Yeah. I'll never be out of love with Mistress America. That was heaven for me.
I love that movie too. Thank you.
Frances Ha and Mistress America are wonderful.
Thank you. I'm very happy that you think so, and I'm very proud of them. And yeah.
I just was lifted off. I felt that was the most inspired.
I'm really just kidding.
The energy that you guys kept up with that thing, I can't imagine what that requires, that kind of how you figure it out. Because Sidney Pollack once explained a very, very good way of explaining the filmmaking process, like with a vinyl record. Mm. And you can, in a live studio, you can put the needle on and just move it very slowly and go.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's one scene.
Yeah, right.
And somehow you've got to make it sound like a really good song.
Right, it's true. It's true. I always describe it as building a house out of toothpicks.
Okay.
It's like you've got a mess of toothpicks and some glue, and they're like, now make a house. And you're like, it's one toothpick.
Yeah.
And here's the next toothpick. And it's
one wrong move.
Painstaking. Uh-huh. But it's.
Yeah.
No, I love those films, and I'm very. I feel like, I don't know. I think that things that those are the, you know, these movies, and also I feel this way about Jackie and 20th Century Women. It's
Thank you.
It's like personal movies made by people that are that are unique in some ways. Yeah. That's what I'm interested in doing, and I've been lucky enough to do it with some really great directors, and they're all mad, and I love them. you have to be a little bit, like a little bit touched to try to make a film. I think also now, I don't know. I mean, I could talk about this forever, but I still can't. I'm so disheartened by people not seeing movies in the theater. I just can't believe it. I think it's...
You mean you're meeting more people who are waiting to see it on streaming? Or...
Well, I know that people see things on streaming based on when people tell me they like things. Like, more people have told me they have seen Mistress America in the past 6 months than ever in the theaters. And it's fine. I'm not personally offended by it, but it just shows, like, the kind of trajectory of how people watch things. And
you know what the curious thing is?
What?
We saw La Ventura together.
Yeah.
That looks so much better on Blu-ray than it did at the
Film Forum.
I'm sorry, but it does.
But that was a DCP, or that was... I think it was a DCP, but I think it was a shoddy DCP. Have you been seeing things at the Metrograph in New York?
Yes, I have. Been there
love
three,
the Metrograph.
Four times.
It's great.
Love that place.
And they...
Those seats I love in particular.
And they do great... They have... real projectionists and do film, and they do some DCP, but they'll do film prints, which is really terrific. And they're reopening the Quad Cinema to
I didn't know.
It's going to be on 13th to be a Repertory Theater, and they'll also have projectionists. So I think in a kind of a niche way, the film projectionists and going to the movie theaters is becoming something that's...
Is it going to be called the what, Quad Repertory or something?
I think it's going to be called the Quad Repertory, yeah.
And it's opening this year?
I think it's opening in, like, December, January, something like that. So
that's good to hear.
Something to look forward to, another rep house. I don't know, watching movies on a phone or on an iPad, I just feel like, no, we can't do that.
I just got the Criterion Blu-ray of One Eye Jacks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That VistaVision cinematography.
Oh my God, yeah.
Heaven.
Yeah.
And it looks a tiny bit better to me because I'm, ever since I got these glasses, which, by the way, I didn't realize that I had any kind of a distance issue.
Oh, until you got the glasses.
Of any kind. I mean, I thought it was mainly a reading thing. But she's not, and they adjusted for distance also. And it changed my life. I was like...
I have the same thing.
You do?
I went to Seoul Moscot, and they were like, you have distance issues. And they gave me a pair of glasses. And I walked around New York, and there were signs I could read that I could never read before. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, you've been walking around not seeing the world as it is, but I almost felt like it was all too sharp. I was kind of like, I might want to go back to just having it all be a little bit vague. I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I'm glad. It seems like people are really going to see Moonlight, and hopefully people will go see, like, Manchester, which opens this weekend.
Yeah, New York and LA, then they're expanding.
Yeah, it's nice. I saw Moonlight at Angelica, and it was full theater.
Yeah,
everybody stayed to the end of the credits, which was nice.
You can always depend upon hearing the IRT
train,
right?
The train.
Yeah.
It always
which
makes
cool
the movie seem ominous. I don't know if you feel that way. It's like there's this rumbling, and you think for a second, like, is this part of? No, it's not. It's just the train. I don't know. I mean, my favorite movie theaters are, like, I really like the Lincoln Plaza, like, the one where you go down in the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
I like those shoebox theaters, actually.
I think they're... I find the whole thing very comforting, but I like small enclosed spaces. So, yeah. I don't know. I guess, 20th Century Woman is coming out on New York and LA, like, the 25th of December. So... It was nice. It's being released by A24, which is also releasing Moonlight. So we were all together the other night and it was, I think A24 is doing such good things.
I love that they're doing
really,
Megan and
Annapurna, yeah. They're great. They're really supporting filmmakers.
Scott,
yeah.
Your father on this thing, right?
Scott Rudin is my producer. Yeah, he was wonderful. He's been wonderful and he's really smart. He's really thoughtful. He really protects the movie that you're making.
Can I get two lemons, please?
You go unique. To him, or he come to you?
He actually came to me. I was sort of looking for funding, and he said, why didn't you talk to me? And I said, I didn't want to make
smart
any
producer.
Assumptions. Because I just, you know, I felt, I didn't want to put him in a position of saying no, and
yeah.
I felt like I figured it would be on my third one, or my second one, and I was very, very lucky that he came on.
And he's a tough one, right?
Yes, he is. And it's nice. It's like all the movies that I've gotten to do. Like it's on Mike's movie. Megan Ellison did 20th Century Women, and you know she does the movie. I mean, she does like PT's movies,
right.
And she does David O movies, and she looks for filmmakers. She did Todd's movie, and it's just it's a really great thing that they are doing, because it's bleak otherwise. Because the studios aren't making these movies. I mean, I don't remember a time when studios did, but maybe there was a time. But they have to be done independently.
What kind of phone do you have, by the way? Happy with your phone?
I have an iPhone.
Okay,
yeah. Are you unhappy with yours?
No, I'm pretty happy with it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Well, I have a 6.
Six plus. No, I'm very happy with it.
Yeah.
It died on me in the middle of Telluride.
Oh,
another
really?
One.
Uh-huh.
The battery just went out, so it was a really interesting experience. I don't know if you've ever been without, but it really just suddenly reorients you. You are reminded, however briefly, that there's a whole way of thinking,
yes,
existing, being, the whole thing. It's and it kind of wakes you up.
I had a flip phone for up until like a year ago, and because I didn't want all of that connectivity all of the time, and I got rid of it because of that. I was directing a movie, and suddenly you had to be able to answer emails faster than 12 hours. But I think I'll probably go back to it. I'm like an old curmudgeonly man when I talk about the internet and smartphones, but it's really, we just did a Q&A for Jackie at Fox. And it was dark when they were putting the chairs out. And
for 20th Century Women, you mean?
For Jackie at Fox. And Natalie and I were there, and we like looked out into the audience. It's all dark, and everybody's face was lit by their phones. And it looks like a futuristic, you know, dystopia when you see everybody in the dark
really.
With their phones. It's on the one hand, it's amazing to have the ability to take pictures all the time. At the same time, what are we taking all these pictures for? Like, when, really, what are we taking these pictures for?
To hold on to something, I guess, but while in the act of always taking pictures,
you're missing the thing. Yeah. I know. It was actually, I actually feel like Mike is the person who lessens my anxiety about technology.
Yeah.
Because I think he really embraces a lot of the facileness, is that a word? The facility? Of digital media without surrendering his soul to it. But he makes me feel hopeful. but that could just be Mike.
I gotta tell you, your the Brady Harris cut, it just looks perfect.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's,
I like that. I just love the way it, yeah. The length is perfect. It's just beautiful.
I've always felt like a short-haired person who had long hair, so I'm glad
so
to be.
So you started with a pixie cut about a year ago, or what?
Well, I cut my hair for Mike's movie. I cut it all off and did it red, and then I've just been in different stages of growing it out and snipping it off, and I'll just...
You cut your own hair?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that, because it looks really good.
Because I'll just idly cut it, and then if I do a photo shoot or something, someone will say, did you cut your own hair? And I'll say, yes. They say, can I just fix it? And I say, please, fix it. And then as I do things, then my hair gets fixed. But, it's good. It's very, makes me feel like I'm in a movie in the 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
good. You gotta keep growing it, or you gotta keep it this way?
I think I'll probably keep it somewhere in this range. Yeah. I don't have any acting jobs on the horizon, so I don't have anybody telling me it needs to be a certain way. Do you have the time again? Sorry, I'm just...
Yeah, we're 6:10 now.
6:10. Okay, I should leave in 5 minutes.
Okay.
But I'm sorry to do that. I feel like I'm failing as an interview subject right now. I'm not really providing.
I wanted to read you something Michael Shannon said. Would you mind putting your hands up while you're talking and allow me to take...
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. You can just...
I'll see, the light is perfect.
Okay.
Alright.
What did Michael Shannon say?
Because he's one of my absolute favorite people in the industry.
Me,
here's Lucas, by the way, the thing I wrote today.
Oh, Lucas. Oh.
About a woman. You see, like, there are rules of party engagement I was talking about in the column.
Uh-huh.
You can only say 3 or 4 things at a party, and parties are like the Jimmy Kimmel show. They're back and forth. They're very fast.
Of course.
And a friend of mine, a producer friend, who I guess was very taken with the movie, particularly with Lucas, she started talking about something, and she wanted for like over 90 seconds, which is like... For a party, the energy just, you know.
Right. He's lovely. He's sincere. Great. I have a picture of me and Luke. Oh, if you want to do pictures.
Yeah.
Just because it's very, very sweet. It's.
But he took himself, or you, the two of you?
No. It's Let me see. It's me and Lucas. Where is it? It's me and Lucas on set together.
And oh, wow.
We're talking. I just love him. And all of the pictures of us together, us like locked in. I really found him to be
one of those. Wait, what set are we talking about?
He's in Lady Bird.
What? Oh, he's in that, you're saying?
Yeah, he's in Lady Bird.
I'm sorry.
No, he's in Lady Bird. Yeah, okay. So he's.
We were talking about things he had done, and he mentioned the Billboard movie.
I think I might have told him not. Well, not. I didn't tell him not to talk about it, but I. He did. We just. He was in it. He's great.
Okay.
He's great. He's wonderful. Yeah. Really special.
Michael Chen is extremely. He's traumatized by the election, as we all are.
Oh yes, yes.
We're talking
yes.
about the. There are a lot of people who need to realize that they've had a nice life and it's time for them to move on, because they're the ones who go out and vote for the assholes. If you look at the young people between 18 and 25, it was up to them. Hillary would have been president. No offense to the seniors out there. My mom's a senior citizen. But if you're voting for Trump, it's time for the urn. Very, very, very upset.
Michael Shannon is one of the greats. He's truly great, and he's also very outspoken. I like him very much.
From your reaction, are you more of a Bernie person, and you weren't that invested in the Hillary?
Oh, no, I was very invested in Hillary.
Okay.
I mean, I loved...
Or
I
switch from Bernie, or did you...
I mean, I loved everything Bernie was saying, and... And I supported Bernie. I voted for Bernie because...
In the New York primary.
I really love Hillary Clinton, and I really wanted her to win, and I think she's really smart and really capable, and I was heartbroken that she lost. I'm stunned. I mean, everybody was stunned. We were all, I was actually talking to Noah Oppenheim, who wrote Jackie about it, and he's a reporter as well as being a screenwriter, and he was saying...
Currently?
Yeah, he also works for NBC News, like, not on camera, but, like, and he was telling me, I was asking him, like, did you know something the rest of the country didn't know, that this was going in this direction, and he said, no one had any idea, the Trump campaign didn't know, there was not, it was truly... something that everyone was caught off guard by. And I think the idea of having a woman president, I really thought we were going to get our first
that's
one,
for sure, you know?
And it was meaningful to me, and it was meaningful for a lot of my friends, and I went to women's college, and I think it's coming soon, and it's not just because of her gender, but it was meaningful, and it really felt devastating how it didn't happen. But
I think Elizabeth Warren challenged her. I think she was told, "Don't do it because it's not your time."
I don't know. I know so little about the inner workings of the party. I mean, it felt like, what's crazy to me about American politics is how fast it changes, because, you know, 24 hours before the election, you had people saying, oh, the Republican Party is in shambles, and they're so divided, and they've got all this, and it's almost like maybe they'll never be a Republican Party again. And then cut to 24 hours later, all of a sudden they're saying, that's true of the Democrats.
Yeah.
And it's like, how quickly that changes, you know, it's extraordinary. But I think, you know, we have these incredibly long election cycles, and totally dominates the national conversation in a way that's not always helpful. I mean, I'm sure you were devastated.
Slow motion. Somebody said the best, watching the Challenger disaster is in very slow motion.
Yeah. I mean, it's really tricky. It's also just how divided everybody is disheartening.
You know, one of the things I've always loved about you very early on is that your music choices, the way you sang Admiral Halsey and
Greenberg. Yeah.
Did you ever see that sign that was, that I found a sign that someone posted at one of the plexes at where Greenberg was playing, and it said, we are cannot give refunds.
Oh, no, that's great, though. That makes me happy.
I thought...
That makes me thrilled.
People actually went up to that after seeing Greenberg. That was one of the greatest highs of that movie year for me.
That was great. No, I love things like that. A friend of mine wrote a play, The Flick. Did you see The Flick in New York?
No.
It's about a movie theater, actually,
okay.
But it won the Pulitzer. She won the Pulitzer. And,
okay.
But when it opened in New York, it was at Playwrights Horizons, and they sent out a letter saying, if you want your money back, you will give it to you, like, it, because it was long and there were a lot of silences. It's a brilliant play, but I feel like anytime that a lot of people are upset and want their money back, maybe that's a good thing. Is that horrible to say?
Yeah, I think it's
a very good thing. There's something I get, maybe some sort of perverse pleasure out of it. I sort of feel like, oh, good, we're upsetting something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's really funny. Oh, okay. Sorry. Wait, ask a question. I know I'm going to be late.
You got to go. Okay. Set.
But wait.
I just love that your music choice, and I'm just wondering what you're thinking about musically for Lady Bird. Are you thinking about tracks or?
Yeah, I'm trying to do it without traditional score. I'll see how far I get. There's a lot of internal music cues, but I'm not trying to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there will be things that aren't, you know, just playing in the world. Yeah. But something I want to do is, and this is tricky, and I'm going to see how I do. But I really want the music to be the music that the people in the film would listen to, not a catalog of my good taste, which I think is very hard to resist, especially the first time you direct something, because you kind of want to show everyone that you have great taste. And I think I'm trying to keep it close to the characters and not show off.
That's ballsy. That's the way to go.
It's really hard to. I mean, we'll see how it goes. But I think the truth is, if you're trying to make something that has the characters who are very specific, you want to be true to them. What are they like? Not.
Is her character's name Lady Bird?
TBD. Yeah, I can't tell you. Right. But yeah.
Okay. She's in her last year of college, you said, right?
Last year at home. Yeah. Yeah.
Is she reasonably well educated?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can I have that?
But she's great in it. I mean, I can say that for sure. Saoirse is great, and Lucas is great. So, yeah. That's, all right.
All right.
Well, I'll see you. I'll see you around on all these events.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll one day, we'll have a better interview next time. I'm sorry, I just talked about other movies, but.
I can go a long time.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.